discussing the Jeremy Fowler report, though, and really the ramifications of what a disastrous loss, I guess depending how you look at it, a disastrous loss for Kevin Stefanski and the Browns this weekend if it does happen.
I think it would. And, like, dude, I still think that this would be a disastrous loss. Like, for all the mock drafters that are out there that want to have that top five pick locked up, like, haven't we lived through that so many different times, and it's gotten us nowhere? Like, it's gotten us right back to the same exact position. So, like, when the Browns kick off that football Sunday, 1 o'clock, hopefully it's not another special teams penalty first and foremost, but when they do, like, I'm going to be hoping that they win that game. Like, I want to see the Browns win. I don't care. Like, I've sat through enough losing that you could find your quarterback whenever. Like, and that's not to say that having a first-round quarterback doesn't matter, and if Fernando Mendoza has a good game against Ohio State, of course I'm going to want him. But, like, dude, we've done this game so many times, and it's just gotten us nowhere.
I tend to think if you have somebody that's truly special, then because Nick has kind of gotten me off of this ledge where I used to always believe in going for draft position and trying to get the best draft position you possibly can. I do think there's something in the idea that a losing culture kind of seeps in, and once you start losing, it's very hard to understand how to win again. I buy into that. But I do think, like, if there was what was perceived to be, at least when it was, whatever, Peyton Manning, you considered him to be, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, those type of quarterbacks, then when the perception they had when they were the number one overall pick, right? I'd be rooting a little bit differently. But yeah. I don't think Mendoza's that guy. And I don't even know with certainty that Dante Moore is going to be coming out in this draft. Right. So for me, obviously, I'm rooting for blood. Obviously, I want Shador to do well as the other side of this, too. And so there's kind of a couple things that we're rooting for at hand. I want the Browns to win just because I always want the Browns to win. But I also want Shador to look good in the process. But you have to do special work if you're Stefanski to pull off a loss this week. And I'm talking real special stuff, because the Titans are just that bad.
Do you? Their punt returner averages 22 yards per game. That means against the Browns, you could multiply that by four, and you're looking at 88 yards coming up on Sunday. So, like, I don't know that it is going to take special work for the Browns to lose. I find myself nervous about this game. Special work of ineptitude is what I mean. I know.
Am I making that clear? Okay.
I'm nervous about this game.
Wait, so you think, like, if they were just straight up, if the Browns play, like, their A game, they're losing this game? Because that's not even close to possible in my mind.
The Browns defensively, I think, will make Cam Ward's life.
Cam Ward has been the most pressured quarterback in the NFL this year. He's been the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this year as well. Like, he is going to, he'll be on the ground a ton. These drives for the Titans offense is going to be 3, 4, 5 plays long, and that's it. I don't know how they score, Nick.
Special teams.
We saw the Jets game, so I can't discount or discredit
the idea
that anything can happen. But that's why I talk about something special happening. Like we can't, like, if you're going to rely on two special teams touchdowns to happen again, I think that falls under the bucket of something special happening.
Yeah, it would be something special if that did happen, or unspecial, I guess, if you're describing the Browns special teams.
The Browns can play their D-minus game in this one, and I think you still end up with a win. Like, well, we can see all sorts of mistakes. We can see penalties. We can see ineptitude. I'm not joking when I say this. I think the Titans might be the worst NFL team I've seen in the previous half decade of football. That's how bad this Titans team is. Not only are they bad, they're also really not playing for anything outside of draft position.
I just look at this, I'm like, man, injury report came down, Mason Graham questionable now, I already know I'm not going to have Malik Collins, so that defensive line might not be as ferocious as it is, and, like, that is the recipe for the Browns to win games. I think that's something that we could both agree on, is, like, the recipe for the Browns in this current iteration to win games is try to sack the quarterback 10 times and to win a 3-0 game. But that's how they play.
It's still impressive if they lose. In many ways, like, impressive in a bad way, if they lose. And I think that's why, like you said, they can get fired. Stefanski can get fired after this one. I think part of that conversation is because of the belief that you're not supposed to lose this game.
Well, also, too, like, is it the transit of power is that, like, if you lose to the worst team in the National Football League, then by proxy, you are the worst team in the National Football League.
I just look at record, really, is all I need. But if you want to go, we break this stuff down for the best team. The best team is not always the team with the best record.
Right.
Your eyeballs tell you this is not the worst team in the NFL, though.
No, because
this
of the defense.
Defense can't let you be the worst. When we have a championship caliber defense, you can't be the worst team in the NFL.
And the Titans definitely do not. The Titans have, like, maybe 5 or 6 players in total that probably even belong in the National Football League on
their
roster.
They're next level. Bad.
They're really bad, but that's what makes me all the more nervous about this.
I just think it's what makes it inexcusable if you lose. That's all that is to me.
Well, like, well, definitely.
That's why we were talking about getting fired or something. Like if you lose to the Bills or you lose to the Bears, nobody's even shrugging their shoulders. That's the expectation.
Like, that's exactly what I said prior to the Jets game. Was it not? Like, I was like, here's a Jets team that just sold 3 first-round picks worth of their best players going into that game. When they got a first-round pick for Quinnen Williams and 2 first-round picks from Sauce Gardner, I was like, this is a game, if there was ever going to be one, for Dylan Gabriel to look good, for this Browns offense to wake up. And not only did none of that happen, but they lost that game outright. Not only did none of that happen, but Dylan Gabriel mailed a ball over Malachi Corley's head so high, he couldn't even have caught it if he was Yao Ming.
And in some respects, people were a little too premature on calling that for the Jets. Were they not? Jets have won 3 out of their last 5. The Jets had a quarterback problem with Justin Fields. He's not their quarterback now. They had to figure that out. There's a lot of things that happened with that Jets team. I just think they were a little too premature in suggesting that they're on the level of what the Titans currently are. But I'm fascinated by the idea that you think that Stefanski could be fired for this one, because I just don't see it. I really don't. And I'm the guy, I'm rooting for him to be fired. I hope at the end of the season that it happens. They have just strung this thing out for so long at this point. It just feels like just go to the finish line with this, and then we can do the reset, and then we'll go through coaching searches, and we can go through coaching hiring, and we can do everything that we need to do. It feels like after this game, for this game to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, That's what would surprise me, because there's been like 12 different reasons that we can go to where if you were going to break, you would have already broke.
I just look at this week, man, and I can't shake, like, the Wyatt Teller thing is weird, and I know you feel the same way about that. Like, of all players, you chose that player to have, like, almost what feels like a personal gripe with, because if I'm benching anybody right now, like, if it's Nick Stefanski and I'm the coach on the sideline, like, I'm benching Jerry Jeudy first.
You don't have to change your name for a hypothetical where you become the head coach, by the way.
Okay, that's good to know. For moving forward, I'll jot that down.
You could just be Nick Padone in the sidelines.
Like Jerry Jeudy, I'm benching him first.
Buried in your waffle menu sheet.
So I have that, and then, like, at the same, like, the Bubba Ventrone thing was weird.
If they lose this game, you can admit the fix is in that.
That, like, Bubba Ventrone went up there, and he was, like, bulletproof.
We'll talk about Bubba coming up later.
Like Bubba, what? Like, you bulletproof? Like, I've got the support of the staff. I've got the support of the ownership. It's like, dude, why? It's just weird.
They've all had the support of the staff, almost as if they're doing out the bidding. And that's what they like the most about these guys. The puppet that Stefanski appears to be is kind of a feature in this front office. Or for this front office.
And they don't get, like, it is, I agree with you, because, like, you clearly don't care that the stands are empty. You know, the sheer threat of putting Deshaun Watson back on the field when they opened that 21-day practice window, there were panic in the streets. You would think that the boogeyman was roaming the streets of Cleveland just at the thought of Deshaun Watson potentially playing a game for this team ever again.
216-474-0092, Jim and Strongsville. Up next. What's up, Jim? Yo, Jim.
Jim?
Oh, no. Jim's not ready. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I hate to do it. Jim's like the most prepared caller ever. He's like always ready to go.
He's usually right on it.
And it sounded like he was in his car. Like, was he sleep at the wheel?
Might have lost reception. I'm not sure. All right, so there's another angle to this Stefanski conversation that I want to have with you, though, because this one is LOL funny, all right? Ken was on this morning, obviously, and he gave this twist to it all, and I want to get your reaction, and I want to stomp it down. Here we go.
What's the light at the end of the tunnel? Do I find a nice landing spot? Do I do that for the Browns? Could I possibly work a trade? I mean, we've been talking about trades all over the place. You want them so bad. Do I possibly work a trade here? I start to think that way. If we're talking about trading for Tomlin and Harbaugh and yada, yada, yada. Okay, why? If it's going to go this way, because this is a report, I didn't make this up. You didn't make this up. This is an opinion. If this is a report talking to league executives here, all right, well, then maybe the Giants want to talk turkey.
Nobody wants to talk turkey when it comes to Stefanski. Multiple times this morning, Ken went down the road of, does he have trade value? I'll tell you right now, Stefanski has zero trade value. This is not a discussion.
No, because I'll tell you right, like, I don't even believe that report. Like, say Stefanski gets fired at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's going to be a head coach next year? I don't.
I think the market is so bad right now, I could see him landing somewhere. Now the debate is, does he land in somewhere like a Tennessee where he's dead on arrival? Or is he able to land in somewhere like the Giants where it's not dead on arrival? It's not set up as a cushy job, but you have something to work with. I could see either scenario actually happening. I don't believe in Stefanski, but Stefanski is going to get the Browns pass. It's a cousin of the Peterlin pass, oddly enough.
The Peterlin pass.
It's like a cousin of that. You get the Browns pass. In national circles, they look at you and say, well, you coach the Browns, and so what can we really do based off that information?
I just, like, no, like, if you look at the last couple of head coaches that have been traded, it's been for, like, the tune of first-round picks. So, like, if my option is to give up first-round pick for Kevin Stefanski, or I just hire some offensive coordinator that I've never heard of prior to this year, yeah. I'm probably hiring the offensive coordinator that I've never
Bobby
heard
Slow,
of.
It costs you nothing.
Yeah, yeah, like, if I'm, like, a franchise that's down that bad, I'm certainly not trading a draft pick for Kevin Stefanski. Now, like, maybe if I could trade a draft pick for one of these other guys that could be fun. Like, if we're trading draft picks for a coach, there's other names that could be on the hot seat that I'd be more apt to trade a pick for than Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I mean, with
trading a pick for Tomlin before I trade a pick for Stefanski.
I think even trading a pick for Tomlin's insane.
It probably is, because you similar to the Stefanski thing, you could probably just pick him up off the crap.
But that's kind of the point, though. Like, if they're willing to trade to begin with anyway, then they're willing to part with the guy, just wait it out. They're going to fire him. But also, if I'm not willing to trade picks for Tomlin, then in no world is anybody going to be willing to trade picks for Stefanski.
No. Just because, like, I think that price has to start with a first-round pick when you're trading a coach in the National Football League.
And a first-round pick is laughable in exchange for Stefanski.
And that's what
Stefanski should be thanking his lucky stars he's even in these conversations for a head coaching job to begin with anyway. Nonetheless, somebody trading for him.
I don't buy any of it.
No, I don't either. No, it's absolutely insane. All right, 216-474-0092. Let's get Jim back. I'm giving Jim a second chance there. Hello, Jim.
Sorry, I was going through the car wash there, Johnny.
Understandable.
Listen, I don't buy any of these reports either. It's a bunch of nameless executives who don't have to put their name to actually hiring somebody. It's like the talking heads. I mean, I can say whatever the heck I want to because I'm not held accountable for it. So, no, I don't believe it. I think people like it, Kevin Stefanski, but I'm not buying that some GM out there is going to, because they're going to have to convince the owner. The owner's going to have to be convinced that, oh, you got to hire this guy. Yeah, you show me the GM out there that's going to put, go to bat for Kevin Stefanski and put his job on the line for him.
Right, and on that, and Jim, I appreciate the call, man. On that, like, what's that pitch? If you're that GM going to your owner, what's the pitch you give that says we have to have Kevin Stefanski?
Hey, here's a guy that won two Coach of the Years. Here's a guy that won some game with PJ Walker time. Like, that's really it, dude.
You're gonna be like, what? He's a quarterback whisperer? No, he's not. Wins a bunch of games? No, he doesn't. He's won six games in 2 years. What, yeah. Like, what's the selling point? He's an adult. I'll say that.
Yeah, he won't get in a fist fight with me. Like, if you got an aggressive GM, like, hey, he won't actually come in here and punch me in the nose.
You know what? That might be the best selling point I can come up with, is that idea that if I'm a GM and I hire Stefanski, he'll do my bidding. Like, he will be my court jester, and he'll stand to the side, and he'll laugh at my jokes. And then on Sundays, whether it comes down to game plans, whether it comes down to whatever, he'll do my bidding.
Like, dude, that's what Daryl keeps
saying. There's value in that.
Daryl keeps repeating. Daryl doesn't think there's going to be a change, and he keeps repeating because he doesn't think that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are on drastically different pages, and that's usually when Jimmy Haslam makes his fires.
Well, it's always easy to be on the same page with somebody if you disagree to everything that person says.
Yes,
Andrew Berry's writing the page and Stefanski's saying yes to everything that's on the page because he's a bobblehead, then they're never going to expect anything different. All right, we got a lot to get to. Obviously, we'll talk Ohio State coming up at 3 o'clock as well. Daryl himself is going to join us at 3:20. Quick hits next. It's Jonathan Peterlin and Nick Padone with you guys. Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.